Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. David.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, how are you on this fine Monday? You said it's raining there. And
God is good. I don't care because he let it rain on the just and the unjust.
Amen. Yes, indeed.
This morning when I rose, yeah, I didn't have no doubt. This morning when I rose, yeah, I didn't have no doubt. You can join in. This morning when I rose, yeah, I didn't have no doubt. I know the Lord will take care of me. Okay.
I told you I ain't in no singing mood. I woke up in a singing mood.
And then the destructive baby.
But then, yeah.
Like destructive baby came.
I found out all my little ones have been playing fast and loose with my bobblehead collection. And right now, my Michael Jordan Funko Pop ain't got no stand to stand on. He ain't got a leg to stand on. He just laying down with glory. And Captain America was decapitated. So
it's so hard out here for Captain.
Yeah, it's gonna be some interrogations and it's reservations and consequences and repercussions.
Kill them.
Yeah, it's gonna be some conversations had.
And they're gonna have that look on their face, like, what you talking about, Willis?
Well, I know this the part that's easy. I know which one of them did this particular job because I just know she's been here a lot here recently. So she will be handled with swiftly and expeditiously
and professionally.
Yes.
Swiftly and professionally.
And if my siblings are listening to this dear episode, let it be known that I have representation.
Yes, yes. You got agent. Yeah.
Yes, there will be no more sent. And just like today, I start a 2-week stint of Professor Bubble with two of mine who are now learners.
You in the bubble.
So yes, the 2 weeks then I start today. But yes, there will be no more free labor.
There will need to be some compensation.
Yeah, because providing
an education.
As an Emmy Award nominee,
yes,
I deserve compensation, and representation is on the way because my representation is who I'm speaking with here today.
Yes, because we offer an education because of this situation, so. Yeah, we're going to need something.
We done turned into MLK and Jesse Jackson and all of them. All right. So, we talked about this last week, kind of previewing it, just because we had a connection to it from years ago. It was basically the catalyst for our friendship, which was the Malice at the Palace.
Yeah.
And this past week, we were able to watch the documentary on Netflix from the Untold series. I got to watch the rest of those because that was done really well. And I hadn't seen any of
them. I didn't know they had a bunch of them.
Yeah, it's a whole series called Untold that Netflix is doing. And there's a couple of other ones that's already been done. I want to check them out now that I saw how well this one was put together.
Yeah, ain't nobody told me nothing.
I wonder what we would learn, and we learned a lot from this that we did not know. We saw things that we didn't know. What was your biggest takeaway from it?
When we was watching it live, I guess it was so much going on that you couldn't like focus. Because after we experienced it, I wasn't like sitting around watching ESPN and seeing, you know, different pieces of it. I didn't know that people wound up in court about this either.
Right.
So, yeah, I didn't know that all that went out like that. I knew they, you know, their reputations took a hit. But I didn't know, like, it had gotten to the point of going to court and all that, so.
Yeah, you would have thought, after everything went down in real time, you would have thought that Ron Artest was just a nut, and Jermaine O'Neal and Steven Jackson were nothing but thugs, because that's what they were portrayed.
That's all they kept saying. I ain't never heard, well, I have heard the word thug used a lot, but they was using, I was like, really? That's interesting. Because they got into a fight with other individuals that were fighting them. This is must have been when they had to bring in security. Because you don't find no game now that you don't see security guards standing all the way around the perimeter. Like, they, now it ain't enough of them if what happened happened. Because I don't know that even if they had had more, that got so chaotic. I don't know how they would have been able to stop all that was happening. But it would have been some kind of help. You'd think they would have been trying to usher more people off the court, but it just seemed to just kind of stay on the court. Like, it was nobody grabbing people and getting them out.
Yeah, I mean, the moment that what had happened, the moment that the initial craziness in the stands had kind of subsided, here you see a guy kind of running up on Ron Artest with his finch closed. Closed fist.
Right.
And you know, Ron knocks him down, and Jermaine O'Neal comes sliding in and takes him out. And
everybody, even Reggie Miller, was like, he was so happy that he slipped.
Yes. Because
he would have injured him. He would have been in court for more than what he was in there for, which I still don't know what he was in court for. Was he challenging the commissioner's thing, or did he get in some kind of charges? Because I don't feel like they made that clear.
The three players were in court to try and lessen their suspension.
Okay, so it wasn't about they had got, because the man did say that they he felt that was self-defense because they were being attacked.
Yeah, and so I think Jermaine O'Neal was actually the only one of the three that got his reduced.
Stacks, Steven Jackson, said that he didn't want to fight it, so he didn't try to fight his. I don't know what Ron Artest did.
I think he knew.
It was like, nah, I'm gonna leave well enough alone.
And I will say the comedy, and it wasn't meant to be comedy, but it, just the way it comes off, it was a little bit comedic. Was after the fact, they're all in the locker room when Ron Artest asked the question to Steven Jackson. I've heard this story already. About when he asked Steven Jackson, "You think we're gonna get in trouble?" The look on Jermaine O'Neal's face
in
the documentary, like, you know, as they're interviewing him, you know, was the exact
that had
same look
to be that the he exact is that he gave him.
Oh my god! And if you have not seen it, it's worth checking out just for that look, because that was.
I think. What is also valuable for people that care to know and see these individuals as more than athletes.
Uh-huh.
And I think we'll get to see some of this in the movie sensationalized so much. But let me stick to the point right fast, and I'll tell you why I said this.
Okay.
I think you'll get to see, like, Ron Artest has or had, or is working through a lot. Obviously, they don't tell us what, but he's been working through stuff.
Yeah, because they said he had a therapist with him.
Right, that traveled with them. So you know, if your therapist is traveling, like, that they know that you're managing something that's beyond you. So it don't take a lot. And I think he said, matter of fact, I don't have to think, he said he was lying on that table counting like his therapist had told him, and trying to calm himself down, which we all guessed. I mean, I did. I was like, okay, he's trying to just be like, okay, I'm taking myself out of the situation. And then Cornhole Man, I'm calling him Cornhole, because he tossed that cup perfectly. Yes, and it was the same way people be tossing the cornhole bag. He tossed that, hit him dead on the shot. Like, I could probably toss that and miss him a bunch of times. Most people hit him dead on the shoulder, and then crazy happened. But, you know, Brian, what's interesting, and remind me to go back to these athletes and behind the scenes. What what were the Pistons doing? Why did they just leave the court? Because all you see is the away team.
Yeah, I mean, when they're in the stands, you see Rasheed Wallace kind of involved and almost, which is shocking because of what you were supposed to believe about him. He almost looked like he was trying to be a peacemaker, trying to separate, you know, good from bad and whatever, and just trying to calm the situation down. But yeah, after that, and when the craziness is still going on, I guess they just got them all off the floor. And I don't know how they were able to remove the Pistons and, you know, not the Pacers, but.
So, yeah, I found that to be, I know they had been at, you know, beef, but at some point you got to be like, hey, we got to get, like, they brothers, quote unquote, like the brotherhood of the NBA.
And that's one thing
they just left.
That Jermaine O'Neal even made a comment about when it came to how the players were seen,
mm-hmm.
and how the crowd was reacting to it. He said that, you know, the crowd doesn't even realize we're all friends. We're all friends off the court, and, you know.
Yeah, they know each other, and it's just like you play any basketball game. Y'all be fouling each other and fighting, but then y'all go out and go get something to eat or whatever, and sitting around playing video games. Yeah, that was a mess. That was a mess. And I'm glad that they show all them different angles. And it was good to know what happened after the ESPN mess was nothing. But I don't think, what you think about the way David Stearns handled it? I see you got a visitor. Do we need to do an interrogation?
No,
this ain't the interrogation.
No, this ain't the one that's getting interrogated.
Okay,
not yet. But no, she came through and got one of her. She loves my flashlights. But anyway, I thought that David Stern, the way he handled it, is the way he tried to handle a lot of things. Just I'm a rule with an iron fist, and I'm the law. You know. Basically.
Well, why did any Detroit Pistons get in trouble?
Ben Wallace. That's the only one.
Well, he started this.
Yeah,
Cause what he called a hard foul, I should slap him. And I don't hit other people's children. But he need to be slapped. Because that was a run-of-the-mill foul.
What?
Hold on. And was Tinsdale? Tinsley?
Oh, Jamal Tinsley.
Tinsley and him, both of them need to be slapped. Because Tinsley is the one put it in his head to get his little foul. Go ahead and get your little payback foul in the run Artest's head. Who knew that? I had never heard that before.
No, that was the first time I heard that story. And that's...
Steven Jackson's like looking at him like, what? We are winning this game. What are you talking about? Then he go ahead and get a foul. And again, it wasn't... I have seen way harder foul. Like, that was just a touch. A love tap.
Yeah.
And Ben Wallace overreacted, sending him over to that scorers table, which I didn't see how that was. Apparently, they felt that was offensive because he laid on the score table. I was like, okay, I don't see how, but that's your testosterone thinking.
Yeah, because I guess because he didn't come back at him, and they just assumed that, you know, he was trying to just showboating, I guess. Because it wasn't like he didn't just, you know, immediately just return like he wanted to fight. My worry is, and it's just inevitable, the way we are in society, is people have still watched this documentary and they've already, you know, have the perceived notion that these guys are just thugs and that's all they were. But
well, if they're going to be thugs, then just make sure on January the 6th when they was having that tourist event, in 2020, that they get the same label.
Yeah, well, they're gonna continue to see them as thugs, even though they laid it out there perfectly for you. That if you had any, just all you had was what was shown to you. If you didn't, if you watch this, you have it laid out perfectly for you to see that even if you don't understand fight or flight mentality, there is that mentality in these men.
Most guys, you take them somewhere and a fight jump off, they're not just going to let their friend get beat up.
Correct.
They're going to jump in, whether it's trying to break it up. And again, the most of this was the fans were being the aggressors. Yeah. Like they were, like when they ran into the stands to help Ron, one of them had him in a chokehold or was trying to pull him down. And then one of them, like you said, ran up on somebody with his fist closed, which meant you was trying to fight. And I would have been trying to sue the stadium for not having enough security. All that I've been saying for years, I don't know how any of these people drive home. You let all these people drink. They be talking about at the end of the fourth quarter or the fourth quarter, they don't serve any more beer and all that other stuff. People drunk by then. And guess what? They go get in a car and drive home. But some kind of way it's okay because it's sport.
Right.
But coming back around to the athletes, I'm looking forward to seeing King Richard because we have no idea what these athletes, the pressure they under, what's going on in their home life. And I say that because we still don't know what is the impetus for a man needing a psychiatrist traveling with him all the time.
Yeah, because Stacks and Jermaine O'Neal both said they were never even told why or what was wrong with him. They just
They don't need to know necessarily, but he say he was had depression and anxiety or depression and something. So he would have these highs and lows.
But you know how people are talking. Eventually, it gets out. It never even got out to them why, you know, what was wrong with Ron or what was he needing.
So, when I watched the, because I was curious, I saw a documentary of Serena and Venus, and I hope King Richard don't sensationalize this so much and that they tell a real good, solid story. Because that documentary of what Serena and them went through, I was just like, wow. Had no idea all this stuff. I didn't know about these injuries and all this stuff that was happening with them. And, you know, Serena's so good, you forget that Venus won 5 Wimbledons.
Yeah, you forget that she was the start of their career, she was second fiddle. I mean, she was younger, but Venus was the one.
Venus, you know. But Serena won the first grand, and that pushed Serena, which you find out in the documentary. Right. She's like, not a jealousy kind of like, but wait a minute, I'm supposed to be the oldest. And so that pushed her. And then after that, Venus ran off and won a bunch. And then Serena came around and be like, anything you can do, I can do better. Now, that ain't what she said, but that's how it all flushed out. But the stuff that you see that they dealt with, because I didn't know, shout out to my mama. She said she remembered. I didn't know their oldest sister had been murdered. For a case of mistaken identity. Somebody saw a car and thought it was somebody else and shot the car up. And so I was like, wow, I had no idea that happened. So it's a lot that these athletes deal with behind the scenes that we don't know. And we just be like giving them a hard time about, you know, whatever that we think we don't like.
Well, it's that whole, you know, we see it's the whole thing we've talked about many times before. You see them on TV, so they're not human to you. You know,
right.
You feel like you can treat them some kind of way because they're not just like you. They're different.
They're special some kind of way. And it's the same way you feel, Brian. You remember when you, I don't know if you ever went, you don't realize your teacher is real until like one time I had went home with a teacher because they had, I had a basketball game or something. And she took a couple of us to her house because she had to go home and do, I don't even know why. But then I was like, oh, this person got a life outside of being a teacher. Like for some reason, it was some kind of disconnect in my mind.
Yeah.
That this was a real person. Like, I just saw them as a teacher, and that was it. Like, I see you in this one period of time every day, where Monday to Friday. But anyway.
I remember the first time I saw one of my teachers. I think it was at a Kmart, way back when they had Kmarts.
Lord, Kmart, rest in peace.
And it was just because in your mind you don't think they ever leave the school.
Pretty much, you just like they're there when I come, they're there when I leave.
And I grew up with parents as teachers, so that was something that wasn't as, you know, weird to me. But yeah, I do remember the first time I saw one of my teachers outside of class.
I was just like, oh, they're just regular people.
Right.
And who?
Oh, goodness. Well, let's move on. We're going to get to more. I'm glad you brought up the King Richard thing, because I'm looking forward to that movie, you know.
Yeah. You know,
we talked about it before. We'll get into that more.
I don't know when it's coming
out. So, transitioning into our other episode.
The reason that you need to give interrogations because the decapitation of Captain America.
Yes, we definitely, there will be interrogations and conversations had as to why my Captain America's bobblehead was decapitated and just laid to rest. I mean, just, they didn't even try to conceal the evidence. They just left it alone.
Left him there. So, what if?
Yes, what if Captain Carter were the first Avenger? Wow. I enjoyed the show. It was different. What made me enjoy it more is I've heard through the grapevine that
I heard it through the grapevine. Okay. Just about. Okay.
That we may be seeing some of these characters from What If in future MCU projects like Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So we may actually be seeing a Captain Carter played by Hayley Atwell, the lady who plays Peggy Carter. Mm-hmm. That would be interesting to see how they...
My first thought was, how did they financially... I know they're making billions of dollars, and I said billions.
Uh-huh.
Because to get her... What it did? It sound like Captain was the same. Whatever his name is.
Chris Evans.
It sound like. I know he didn't have a big role, but it sound like Samuel was the voice that did when she come out of the wormhole time warp, whatever it was she came out of, and he's standing there. It sound like Samuel did his voice for. What's the eye patch, man?
Nick Fury.
Nick Fury. So I was like, how can y'all afford all them people for a cartoon?
I know just about everybody in this one was the original actor. Now, when we get to the ones where Iron Man is not Robert Downey Jr. Brie Larson is not Captain Marvel.
We'll
get to hers. There's a couple that come back and do theirs. And I think it was more... I don't know. Robert Downey Jr., I don't know if his had to do with money or whatever, but I think a lot of them were, this come out later on, that you know, they
time
were filmed.
Time conflicts.
Like Chadwick Boseman in the second episode that we're going to have this week is playing T'Challa.
Mm-hmm.
He recorded this, you know, way back. And some of these were recorded like, Dave Bautista is not going to be Drax when the Drax episode shows up, or, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because they couldn't get him during the pandemic.
Time conflicts, right? Yeah. Okay.
So that had a lot to do with it. And, you know, obviously some were going to be because of money and, you know, whatever.
I'm just saying, for a cartoon, I was like, y'all,
that was impressive.
That's a lot of money spent to get them to do a voiceover. I know they're not doing that for the low. So,
but did you like how they did it? Did you notice the change? What changed to make her be the one that? Because in the
you
movie,
can't help but notice it.
In the movie,
I think it was a nice transition of how they stayed with the storyline, but just made a few little tweaks.
Yeah,
that if one or two things happened, this could have went differently.
It, see, in the movie, she goes up with the rest of the people into the booth. Well, in What If, she stays down. And when things pop off earlier on, you see, in the movie, they pop off after Captain America becomes Captain America. In the What If, they start, you know, blowing up.
I saw the time change. They had to do that kind of.
That was pretty cool. And at the end, instead of going into the ice, she does like you said, she does the time warp into the future.
Pushing the thing in. I don't know what that was. It looked like a big octopus or something.
Yeah. So so what they call it, what did Resco call it? Like Hydra, something to do with Hydra. Hydra, I forget what they called it. But yeah, that was interesting. And yeah, and Resco didn't die. So wonder what happened to him. Then the first one he actually didn't die in the first one either. We didn't know that until Infinity War. But right. He gets shipped off to that planet.
Vormir. I think it was, I was like, why did we have Iron Man's suit already? I didn't necessarily like that part.
That was.
But I guess they were trying to keep Captain America. Right. I mean, I get it. I know why they did it, but I didn't like it. I was like, okay, well, we could just move the timeline up for Iron Man suits.
Right. Which... So now what happens? Does his son not become Iron Man or, you know, because now we have the first Iron Man suit way back in the 1940s. So
that was interesting. I was like, okay, well, where are we going to go from there? I like that they called her Captain Carter. Because I was like, you can't call her Captain Britain. I guess you could because she had to.
I think a lot of people thought they were going to because there is a Captain Britain in the comics.
Oh.
So I think a lot of people thought they were going to go that way. But I'm glad they called it Captain Carter, too.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I like that. And I like that they showed... misogynistic. Oh, I was just so wanted to choke that little cartoon.
Yeah, it's funny. They had,
you lucky to be in the room. Speak. I was like, oh, I want to slap you. Go slap him.
I'm glad. It was funny they had him speak, but then Tommy Lee Jones' character from the movie was there in the cartoon, but he didn't have a speaking role. You see him in the background, but he actually didn't speak, which was pretty neat.
And did she get any bigger? I couldn't tell if she got bigger. I know he told her you don't need them heels anymore when she stepped out of the machine. Maybe she was bigger and I just missed it. Maybe I should watch it again. Because she didn't look too much bigger. Maybe she got taller.
Maybe that's what it was. I mean, I know she kind of bulked up a little, but it wasn't
I'm glad you said that. That was messy. They were messing and giving her the big boobs. I was like, now y'all didn't have to do that. Yeah. Y'all could have made her, you know, be bigger without overemphasizing her chest. Yeah. I noticed that a couple of times. I was like, now they ain't have to make her look like she got some Wendy Williams, Dolly Parton, Tig O'Biddies. Oh, Lord, I can't. You know the first time I heard Tig O'Biddies on one of them, I don't know why. Was it Jerry Springer? And some dude stood up and said, "You sure got some Tig O'Biddies." I was done. I am done now. Every time I say it, I think of him, and I think it's hilarious.
Oh, man.
So, What If was good.
Next episode.
I'm interested to see what's going to happen.
Episode
you know
two
already what's happening? Oh, I thought you.
Yeah, episode two is going to be interesting. It's going to be what if T'Challa was picked up by Yondu and the Ravagers instead of Peter Quill, and he becomes Star-Lord.
Oh.
So that's going to be interesting.
So are they staying on some kind of timeline? I mean, I know the timeline is...
I guess so. I didn't know how it was going to go, but after seeing the first one where they kind of stayed with the same thing...
You think they're going to stay on that line?
So, yeah.
But it'll be a variant.
Right.
The timekeepers.
That's
I'm interested to see when, because I like the actor that's doing the voice of the narrator, and he has a name, but I don't remember it.
Because he said, "Yeah,
yes, okay, the Watcher." Mm-hmm. I like him as an actor, a thespian.
I'm trying to think of his name, Jeffrey Wright. Yes,
Mr. Wright has been in quite a few things. The one that stands out is. Shaft.
Ah, yes.
You know, he's the gang, the drug dealer.
Yes.
And then he's been in quite a few 007s as the American, I don't know if he's a CIA agent. I think he's a CIA agent. He's been in way more than I'm in, but those are the ones that I can remember him from.
Oh, he'll be in the new Batman coming out with Robert Pattinson.
Well, I hope
he's gonna be in.
So,
that.
So does this mean that Affleck, Lord Ben, is his name Affleck? What is his name?
Affleck, yeah. Might as well be Ben Lopez at this point. Anyway,
is he done as Batman?
I don't think so. They're doing their own version of a multiverse. It's coming. Oh. And I think he and what's his name that played Batman back in the day when Jack Nicholson was a Joker? What was his name?
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna be his face. Yeah. Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
They're all gonna come back as different variants of Batman in upcoming.
Cause I was just like, bro, I just don't like being.
Yeah,
I just have not bought into him being it.
Yeah,
I think he big and chunky. They didn't do justice for his suit. I was just like, his storylines haven't been great. I killed Superman because Superman was trying to kill him or whatever because
right.
What's his name had my mama. You are Superman. You can gaze over the earth and find your mama. What are you talking about? That whole storyline was the worst. Okay, I'm okay. I'm okay. Well, coming up, Brian. Okay, you got some more.
No, I was going to give it to you about the declassified.
So, yeah, one thing that is an interesting listen. You know, you say interesting read. An interesting listen is... Marvel's Declassified. It's fairly old. I just found it.
Right.
I think it's been out for a good minute. But they break down some of the Marvel stuff and behind the scenes and telling you stuff, obviously declassified, that you probably wouldn't have known. In the very first episode, I started on Saturday. And I had no idea. Like, they give you the evolution of comics, period.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, shocked when I heard at some point in the 50s or 60s, they said that comic books making kids delinquents, and they was trying to ban comic books.
Lord have mercy.
And I was just like, what we doing? But then you have to remember there's a group of people that have tried to ban books as well from schools and all. So then there's that. Because when Harry Potter on the, they were trying to keep it from being in the schools and all that when it was in its height peak.
Yeah, they're always trying to stop somebody from reading something.
Comics were causing kids to be delinquents. I don't know how they married that together in their minds, but they did. So the comic book people started putting a seal on it. Comic something. It wasn't. I forgot what the name was, but it had a little seal on it to let you know that it was okay for your kids to read. I was just like, okay. I'm looking forward to my Milestone Static Shock is back. Looking forward to that whenever. Ooh. We can't order from them no more, Brian. It's been 10 weeks. It's been almost a year since I got
It should arrive.
18 months.
It should arrive sometime today. So hopefully it'll get to you.
Why we start doing that?
Yes.
That's hilarious. It's been 2 years and I still ain't got my comic book.
We ordered that 4.5 years ago. And
I forgot. I'm about to move and it's going to come when I leave. Yeah, that was a lot. Is Shang-Chi coming out or did I miss it? Is it this week or what? Shang-Chi. Lord, I done made up. Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi is
Shang-Chi.
Will be out September.
Oh, it ain't. Why I feel like why my spirit wanted to be out before then.
In my mind, okay, no, it was Venom that they moved back. Shang-Chi is still coming out Friday, September 3rd. So,
okay, we are closer.
Yes, and Venom, yeah. Venom 2 has been moved back, I think, like 2 weeks. So it'll be.
I don't think I'm gonna make Venom 2 boring.
It'll be me.
It was too gory.
It's only getting gorier because they got Carnage.
Because it was fine when he was eating people. That was like a lot for me to manage emotionally. I was like, yeah, I could do without seeing him eat these people. But then in that trailer, it was so much going on. And I was like, I'm probably going to miss this one because I don't want to see all that. But the going way back to the beginning of the episode, the Netflix Untold, there's a deal with the devil. We got the Caitlyn Jenner story, Crime and Penalties, and Breaking Point.
Yeah.
And so I don't follow boxing that much, but the deal with the devil follows a prominent female boxer named Christy Martin, a U.S. Female boxing U.S. history, that is. And then Caitlyn Jenner, obviously, that's Bruce Jenner story. Crime and Penalties. I don't know. The son of a trash disposal mogul, James Galante. AJ Galante.
That's how I would say it.
Found himself as the president and general manager of the Danbury Trashers, a UHL ice hockey team purchased by his father. We don't bend down that road before people buy something for their kids. And how that could go left.
Yeah, you give money to your kids, it ain't necessarily a good thing.
And Breaking Point is a tale of a tennis player named Marty Fish. And exposing his perseverance to become a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, there's a bunch. I'm trying to get to them because now that
I'm sure, I ain't never heard of these people, so it'll be the first time for me. Well, obviously, I don't heard of Caitlin, but
you brought up boxing, made me think of something I heard this morning. Muhammad Ali's grandson won his first professional boxing bout over the weekend. Ali Walsh. Yeah, so the
if I was him, I would be like a Creed and try not to let nobody know my last name, who my granddad was. You said granddaddy?
Yes, this is your granddaddy.
Granddaddy, this is your granddaddy. Oh, good old Mr. Brown.
I can't believe it's been 5 years since Ali died. I didn't realize that.
Oh, I felt like it had been longer. But hey, don't listen to me.
So, anyway. So, sayings that don't make no sense. What you got for us today?
Brian.
Hold on, wait a minute. I feel like, what's the name on the Steve Harvey show? What you got for us today, nephew?
Brian. If you mad, scratch and get glad.
I've heard that before. Yes.
Well, scratch what and get glad? What are we doing?
What I'm scratching.
Tell me what is scratching, if this is going to help. I have nothing. I don't know. And since it's raining cats and dogs. Ooh.
It better not.
And we know what these things mean, but I want to just know why. Who said it and why? Why?
Who was it's the raining first that said it?
Cats and dogs. What was the impetus for girls running cats and dogs out there? just cause a cat had kittens in the oven don't make them biscuits.
Oh man.
But I still ain't figured out how to use that because I want to use that one. just because a cat had kids in the oven don't make them biscuits. I was just like, oh, Lord, I can't. I love that so much. I don't know who said it first, but I know that Malcolm X said it, and that's how I heard it.
Yes.
Oh, man. She was 3 sheets to the wind. What is that?
I don't know, but I've heard people be referred to as that. And
3 sheets to the wind.
All I know is they were either having a good time or they was very, 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 very inebriated.
I know, we know what they mean, but like, but 3 sheets to a wind. What? Why? Why
I don't know why it's 3 sheets.
One sheet didn't suffice.
No, it had to sheets. Be three. Because two is just two. I guess three makes a couple. I don't know.
What? Who decided that cats had 9 lives?
I don't know. And then that has evolved to all animals. But why? I mean...
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't know all the animals had gotten that. Now all the animals got 9 lives?
I've heard people refer to different things, like dogs, and then I guess any animal that kind of evades death. Oh, he must have 9 lives.
Right. How about, this is one we may have done before, but I'm bringing it back around because I don't know who the Joneses are. But people been trying to keep up with them. And I don't know what kind of lavish life they was living. I'm just curious.
Listen, y'all better listen to Bishop T.D. Jakes. You don't need to keep up with the Joneses.
Don't be keeping up with the Joneses.
You don't need all that wealth and notoriety. And listen, it's about the person that you are and the person that you have become. It's the person inside. It's not what you have.
Yeah, don't be trying
it's who
to keep
you
up
are.
With the Joneses.
But don't have me preaching up here this morning. T put me on to that sermon, and I'm...
It's called The Master Builder.
The Master Builder, yes.
Check it out. It's good for all our male listeners. Think it's good for you all to check that out and have a different perspective on life. And
don't let your masculinity get you to thinking that you have to have everything.
And keeping up with the Joneses.
Right. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses. You can sit back there with the Lees and let me not act like the... Let me not profile.
Because the Lee's going to be offended.
Yeah. I apologize to all the Lee's.
All the Lee's going to be offended.
Look,
but I just want to know what Jones family had. Somebody that was living cash or something.
I bet they had a bunch of cats and dogs. And they invented It's Raining Cats and Dogs. And the Joneses. Okay. Yeah.
And then this is my last one. And I'm sure something might come out. I hear something, but this whole dreaming of fish meaning somebody pregnant. I don't know what we doing.
Somebody fish was swimming upstream.
But I had a dream about fish. Maybe you was hungry. Maybe you. Why did that make somebody be pregnant? And all it takes is one or two times for you to do it, and then within some decent window, you find out somebody was pregnant. I knew it. Yeah, no.
Then you consider yourself a prophet at that point.
Yeah, no.
I had that dream.
What that mean.
That's how that stuff gets started. Some old grandmother somewhere. Well, I dreamed the other night about fish. I just had a feeling.
And such and such came up pregnant and be like, that don't all go together.
Maybe such and such she loose. I mean.
She ain't got to be loose. She could be married and pregnant. I don't think it matters how the pregnancy happens. I don't know how you associating you dreaming about fish to somebody else being impregnated. That's the silliness of it all. Anywho.
That was some good ones. That was some good ones, though.
That's where we are.
But just let it be known, all my fellow.
Let it be known. Just because... A cat have kids in the oven. They ain't biscuits.
and just understand, all my brothers, you don't have to have a cat in. You don't have to have biscuits to be somebody. you are who you are, you become. You can be good without having everything. You don't need it all. Get down off my pulpit. And
the biscuits, yeah. Brian. The cat, the kids ain't biscuits. Biscuits. It don't take. Can I share one more thing?
What you
we
got?
Don't have to share this with the people. So I was for some reason I've been vacillating between getting me a weighted blanket for winter time, and so I was looking at some reviews, and I got to this review, Brian. I was so tickled. The review, the person gave it a one, because I look at, like, I usually don't pay too much attention to the ones, because people give them a one for silly stuff that they couldn't control. Like, oh, the blanket get them lint balls on it. Like, okay, well, they don't make it a one. So this person said, the blanket was so heavy, I almost threw out my back when I rolled off. Then it said, and because some people were saying that it was a cool side, and one side is supposed to be a cool, and it was like a cool side. That thing like an oven. I got in there almost burnt. I was like, y'all had a terrible experience with this blanket. Because when they said they almost threw out their back when they tried to roll over.
That would be something that, have you seen that YouTuber Alonzo Lerone? He does, like, he makes fun of, like, people's comments and or people tweet and people review. He would be good.
I think you've, that it's a
he's yeah, I'm sure I'll send you a video.
You don't send
me, he would be good at something like that. He would take one of those and run with it.
I almost threw out my back. I was like, oh Lord. That's the thing, I have 15 pounds and the weight is not distributed in one point, so I don't know. So I found that you always need a funny early on.
Yes, indeed.
Monday when it's raining outside. Actually, the sun out a little bit now.
Rain, it's supposed to rain all down. Week.
Yeah, it's supposed to rain all week.
Rain down here too. Oh, well, as always, I'm one of your hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with
T. God is Good Davis.
And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.